I'll tell you what, let's just go straight to Hebrews chapter 5.
Hebrews chapter 5.
Excuse me, I tried to sniffle and did it right in the mic. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll look at verses 12 and 13. Now, for those of you who are new to this study, we're talking about spiritual growth, and we've already had several sessions on this subject. We've said that growth is the key to lasting change. Growth is the key to lasting change. God desires for all men to be saved and for those who are saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. We'll look at the verse if we have time this morning, but the Bible speaks in Ephesians of us growing up into Jesus in all things. So there are some things that we need to grow out of. There are some things that we need to do to grow up. And then there are some things we need to grow into. So notice the prepositions. The prepositions. Grow out, grow up, grow into. And the Bible speaks of this. Amen. I'm not trying to be funny or silly here, but there is no medication that will grow you up. Amen. There's been a lot of times over the years that I've met with people and I thought, you know, if I could just write a prescription for some grow-up pills, it'd fix their finances, it'd fix their marriage, it would fix their inability to hold down a job. I mean, just a lot of things, right, that would be solved in their lives just with some growing up. Amen or amen. Let's just be plain about it, right? Amen. But here's the reality. There's no prescription for that. Amen. But there is a way, and it's spelled out for us in the scriptures, that God has established for us to grow, and that's called discipleship. Discipleship. Jesus didn't just tell us to go get people saved. He told us to go make disciples. Make disciples. Now, I can't make you born again. Only God can do that. Are you following me? So we preach the gospel so that men and women might be saved. They hear the gospel, they respond to the gospel, they would call upon the name of Jesus, and they're saved. But then there's effort involved. There's effort involved on our part, both as disciples and as disciple makers. Amen. And so God's plan for us, again, is to get saved and then to grow. But as we see in Hebrews chapter 5, is that growth is not automatic. Growth is not automatic. This keeps bouncing up in my spirit, so let me share this. A gentleman who taught me a lot about addiction recovery is a man named Michael Dye. He's with Jesus now, but my first session with him, he turned to 1 Corinthians and started talking about the 9 gifts of the Spirit and how important they are in addiction recovery. I thought, this man's speaking my language right here now. He made a statement that I even quote in my book. He said, programs, speaking like a recovery program or church programs, he said, programs don't change people. He said, if programs changed people, surely we would have developed one by now that would take a broken person in the front door and send a whole person out the back door. He said, people's lives are changed when one person is willing to invest their life into someone else. Amen. So that's growth. That's growth. Growing. Amen. And so let me read the passage. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. For though by this time, so growth is not just time based because these folks been saved for a long time. For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So we've kind of been here before, obviously, but the first one that we see is that growth does not occur automatically with time. Now, I felt kind of rushed a few weeks ago, not from you, just from my own silliness or whatever. I was thinking that we would cover all this in one sermon, and now we're three sermons deep into it, having got past the first couples. But ultimately, there's nine things. We're not going to get to them all this morning. May not even get to more than a couple of them this morning. But there are nine truths about growth in these verses that we need to see and look at and understand. And the first one, I think, is obvious, but we'll state it anyway, and that is growth does not occur automatically with time. For though by this time, he said, meaning they've been born again in church and heard enough to be teaching and leading others, and yet they were still as spiritual babies. One of the great challenges that our board of directors at the Foundry placed upon us, I'm going to say probably 17 years ago, was how to take the recovery program and transition it from a time-based program to a progress-based program. So you take like, I know we've got some school teachers in the room, you know, so you have a school year, right? And that's time. But just like going through the time of school is not the same as progressing and learning and growing. So God is a progress-based God. It's not just like, okay, well, you've been around here long enough. No, no. Progress and growth, amen, is what God is focused on, not just tenure, not just time. Now, I want to show you this in the life of Jesus, and we see it in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, so it's an amazing passage. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, I'll come back to that verse, but I want to show you where we find that in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. So he's talking about, look at me for a minute, he's talking about hearing and doing the word of God. Okay? Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Now, he's not just talking about receiving mercy and truth, but he's talking about being a man who shows mercy and lives by truth. When he says, don't let these things forsake you, we might say it this way, don't let them slip. How many of you know sometimes we can let some things slip? So he's saying, don't let these slip. Make these things a priority. Keep them, as something that you focus on. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. So he's talking about showing mercy, right? Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Verse 4. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. All right? So now, these, of course, were King David's words to Solomon, if I understand that correctly. But I may be, and those things that Solomon rather learned from King David. Now, let's go back to it. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom. Okay? I'm not trying to make you nervous, and I'm certainly not wanting to shut you down and you not hear the rest of what I got to say this morning. But when Jesus came to this earth, he came to this earth as a human being. He emptied himself of everything that made him God, according to Philippians chapter 2, and took upon himself the form of a man, the form of a servant, and humbled himself. Amen. Now, he, of course, never sinned, and so his understanding was not darkened. And we see that clearly when he was 12 years old. He had a high level of understanding discussing with doctors of the law the word of God. But as in, you know, in other words, let me say it another way. I think you know, a lot of people point to, well, he was Jesus, and just leave the fact out that maybe Mary and Joseph taught him some of those things as well. But Jesus had to increase in wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is when you take knowledge and apply it to your life. So it's not just what Jesus knew and when he knew it, but it was what he did with what he was taught and heard. That's when the knowledge of God becomes lived experience. It becomes a demonstration. And notice the Bible says he increased in that. Increased here is speaking of something that happened, again, over time, but don't just focus on the time, because again, we've already seen that time can pass and people not increase in wisdom. Are you following me? Just because you're older doesn't mean you're wiser. It can mean you are, but it also can mean that you're not. Because wisdom isn't about knowledge, it's about doing, it's about applying. And it's about taking the Word of God, applying it to your life, and experiencing the results. And so the Bible says that Jesus increased in that. Meaning he was taking his Father's words, applying it to his life, walking it out in his life, practicing it in his life, and was experiencing the results that it produced. Jesus was learning. And he was learning like you and I learn, progressively. One lesson positioning him and preparing him for the next and the next and the next. How do we know it worked that way? Because it's in the same verse with him increasing in stature. This is talking about his physical size and development. Jesus wasn't born a 33-year-old man. He was born a baby, babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And he grew and developed physically. He increased in stature. And the Bible says in the same way that he increased in stature, he increased in wisdom. And in the same way he increased in wisdom and stature, he increased in favor with God and men. Now, I've spent a fair amount of time meditating on this verse, talking to the Lord about this verse. I believe that there's a lot, how do I say this? There's a lot, it's like condensed soup. You know, you open that can of condensed soup, you gotta put some water. It's, you know, you don't just start eating it out of a can with a spoon, right? You gotta thin that stuff down. This is condensed right here. It needs to be unpacked. Let's say it that way. All right. So when it says he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, this part, if you only look at it from the perspective of favor from God and favor from people, you can understand how, okay, the more people got to know Jesus, the more they liked him. He's a good guy, you know. But then you come to the, because again, he doesn't just say increased in favor with man, increased in favor with God and man. Now you think, well, how could Jesus have any more favor with his Father than he's always had? Are you following what I'm saying here? I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm just, again, I mean, look at what Jesus has done and the favor that the Lord God had shown him. Well, I think we need to flip it around, because when you understand what favor is, at its very root, it speaks of that which causes joy, pleasure, acceptance, for a kindness granted. Stay with me. Some of you are already ahead of me, okay? That's all right. So when it talks about Jesus increasing in favor with God and men, it's not just talking about God's favor towards him and other people's favor towards him, but it's what he has done for them, what he has done for his Father, what he has done to please his Father, what he has done to be a blessing to and bring joy into the life of other people. Let me, this is taken from actual some Greek dictionaries and lexicons. This word means a favor done or a kindness shown without expectation of return. A free expression of the loving kindness of God. Jesus developed in his ability to love other people, do kind things for other people, without an expectation of them doing anything in return for him. See, the world system says, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And so children are raised up to operate like that. But Jesus broke from that pack. And what he increased in was his ability to do things for other people that caused them joy, kindness granted, without any expectation of something being done back to him. That's grace, right? Again, a free expression. Now, I'm not going to just let me touch it. I'm just going to touch it. I'm just barely touch it, right? Okay. But remember the context, 1 Corinthians 13. Now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. The grace of these is love. Then if we back up, he talks about how we think, how we see things, how we respond. And we've said that if faith, hope, and love are not integrated at the level of our thinking, seeing things, and responding to things, then they never will be effective in our lives. So do you see that Jesus is growing here? But he's not just growing in stature. He's not just growing in wisdom. Those are very important. But he's also growing in this thing called favor. He's growing in his ability to express the loving kindness of his Father without any expectation of return. That's true love, my friend. When you do for somebody else, not expecting them to do anything for you in return, watch this. When you do something for somebody else who does not have the ability to do anything for you in return. Wow. This is what Jesus was growing in. This is what Jesus was increasing in. It's a beautiful thing. Again, setting the stage, setting the pattern for you and for me. All right, now, let's keep going here. Number two. Growth requires interacting with other people. We're going to be here a while. We're going to be on this one for a while because this, I thought we just kind of, again, mention this and move on to number three and number four and get through with eight of them, you know, and no, that's not, the Lord's done shown me I need to slow my roll right here. Okay. Growth requires interacting with other people. Let me say it another way. If you refuse to interact with other people, you will not be able to grow. That's what it means. Growth requires interacting with other people. Now, you may not know this. You may not even agree with what I'm saying right now, but let me tell you who does know this and who does agree with it and develops strategy based upon it. That's your enemy. The enemy knows that if he can keep you from interacting with other people, he can keep you from growing. And if he can keep you from growing, keep you as a spiritual baby or as a spiritual child, you are much less of a threat to him than you would be if you became spiritually mature. Amen. And this is one of his number one tactics. This is one of his number one strategies. This is why he loves to manipulate people to wound or hurt or injure other people. You've heard the expression, hurt people hurt other people. So when we've been hurt, the chances of us hurting other people are increased. Watch this. And the more hurt we become by other people, the less we are, less energetic we are to interact with them, other people as well. In other words, it causes us to do what the Bible calls isolate ourselves. Are you with me? This is again, one of the devil's tactics, one of his strategies. The Bible says we can't be ignorant of his devices. We can't be ignorant of how he works, lest he gain an advantage over us. So growth requires interacting with other people. I'm going to say it again. Growth requires interacting with other people. And if you refuse to interact with other people, you are choosing to prevent growth from happening in your life. In other words, because it's a requirement, it can't happen any other way. All right. Now, I've come across a lot of folks in my life, and to be honest with you, I was probably one when I was much younger, okay? It was just like, you know what, it's just me and Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's just me and Jesus. Me and Jesus against the world. Right? You know what I'm saying? Especially my middle school years, you know, where I didn't know where I fit in, didn't know who I was, didn't know my worth. Felt like a square peg and everybody else slipped right into the round hole, so to speak. Walking down the hall of my middle school, seeing what the devil was doing in people's lives and didn't know how to help them, wasn't bold enough to speak up. Sometimes grieving like some prophet from the Old Testament over it. I thought I was losing my mind in some points. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, this, you know. That's another thing my mom helped me with. You know, especially after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, man. I'm like, Lord, just take me on home. I don't fit here anymore. And so the devil used that immaturity and that ignorance on my part to say, you know what, just me and Jesus, you know. Just gonna get our own little thing going here. Well, when it was only Adam and God, God said, this isn't good. There's been there, done that. And God said, this isn't good. God, look, make sure you understand that. Adam didn't say, hey, look, God, you know, I really like spending time with you, but man, I'd like a woman to curl up with at night. You know what I'm saying? Could you help me with that, Lord? No, God said, this isn't good. This isn't good. Some of you have heard me teach on this before. I'll try to be brief. We just recently taught on it in discipleship class. But we know that God is a three yet one God. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen to that. I call them an eternal community. And if you understand what a community is, a community are two or more people. You know, you can't have a community of one. You got to have at least two, right? Well, a community is when two or more people exist together for the benefit of one another. Better together. Somebody say better together. We're better together. So God is an eternal community. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they exist in absolute communion. Meaning what? Meaning they don't hold anything back that they can do for one another. Right? Now, watch this. We were created by a community for community. And a community created you, and the community that created you for community. Created you to be with and work together with and grow together with other people. Amen. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna take it one step further. And if this freaks you out, I teach an hour and a half on this in discipleship class. So I'm trying to be brief here. The eternal community that is God created you to be a part of their community. Earth is boot camp. part of what we're still on earth to do is we're here to learn how to function in a community. Because we were created for a community. We were created to be one with God. We were created to be a part of His eternal community. Amen. Are you following me? We're in community training. We're learning how to function in a community. We're learning what our part is in a community. We're learning how to get along with other people in the community. Why do you think Jesus told us not to judge? Because judging is harmful to the community. Why do you think He told us to forbear one another? Do you understand what forbearing means? Patience and long-suffering. They're not the same thing. One has to do with circumstances. The other one has to do with people. Amen. Are you following me? If I remember correctly, it's patience is dealing with difficult or trying circumstances. Long-suffering, fruit of the Spirit, by the way, is forbearing with annoying people. Increasing in our ability to express the loving kindness of God to the least of these. Discipleship is about God teaching us not just how to do our own thing. Man, the Bible's got a lot to say about this. All true discipleship occurs within the context of fellowship. It's just that simple. We know that Jesus spent a tremendous amount of time alone with His Father. Right? But that was where He would receive instructions. That was where He would receive sermons, parables, messages. That was where He would receive, listen, when you head out tomorrow, there's going to be a tax collector who's going to climb a tree. I know people are going to be laughing at him because he's short. You can trust this man. He's sincere. I've been dealing with him. My Holy Spirit's been dealing with him. And he's prime for salvation. So when you see him up in that tree, people going to get mad at you. People going to write you ugly letters and put things on Facebook about you. And some people going to quit supporting your ministry. But tell that man, get out of that tree. You go into his house today and announce to the crowd that salvation has come to his house. That's where he would. But notice now, everything that he received in his alone time with the Father spilled over into him being able to effectively do what God had called him to do with other people. This doesn't mean that we don't go into our closet, close our door, and speak to our Father in a quiet, private place. It's just that's not where we live. That is to prepare us for our assignment within the community. I got just a couple more, and maybe we'll come back to some of these. I'm rushing a little bit of this, but there's one last thing I want to get to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Okay? Notice he began with, "You are the body of Christ." Meaning what? You need to understand. How's your understanding? Your understanding is that you, how you see yourself. You need to see yourself as the body of Christ. And you need to understand, you need to see yourself as a member individually. I am the body and I am an individual member. Notice, these things aren't mutually exclusive from one another. He's saying the same thing, but he's trying to emphasize that you're not just an individual member. You are also the body. Now, if we go back to the physical body, because obviously that's what he's trying to get us to do here, okay? I am very thankful that my body, my growing physical body, finally caught up with my ginormous head. I got pictures. Amen. What you laughing for, Matt? You're in those pictures, right? Aren't you glad that your feet and your hands grew together? I don't know if you know this, but babies are born, your eyes when you were born are the same size your eyes will always be your whole life. In other words, the eyes don't grow. I'm going to show you how merciful God is. Can you imagine if the eyes grew and the teeth didn't? What am I talking about? Can you imagine an infant baby with adult teeth? Those big old eyes make a baby cute. Big old teeth would make them scary. If you've seen my oldest grandson lately, but they're coming back, amen, but he's missing some teeth in the front, right? Because eventually his head got so big his teeth started looking really small. But God said, you know what, let's get rid of them baby teeth and let's get some now that'll fit the head. What's the point? A body grows together. And because you are the body of Christ and a member individually, we got to grow together. We got to grow together. All right, one last verse. I'd like to end this on a happy note, but we will. We'll end it on amen. The Lord will help us. Amen. First of all, the Bible identifies a group or a category of people as raging against all wise judgment and opposing all sound reasoning. Now, those are two different translations of the same verse. I wanted to do it this way because some of you maybe remember this verse from 3 or 4 weeks back. But it's like after it was over, it's like, man, Lord, it's like I finally heard that verse for the first time. When you think of a group of people who rage against all wise judgment, you know, you kind of get, what was the summer a few years ago when they were burning down everything in the cities and stuff, you know. That's kind of what comes to mind if you just hear it that way. Raging against all wise judgment. Standing in opposition to all sound reasoning. Who are these people the Bible is talking about here? Proverbs 18 and 1. A man who isolates himself. Wow. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Man, that's some perspective right there, isn't it? Whose perspective is this? Certainly not man's perspective. This is God's perspective. You know, we used to, well, you know, it's just, I just don't like people. You know, I'm just not comfortable in crowds. I'm just this. I'm just, see, we try to justify. It's just not my personality. You know, I'm kind of a introvert. I'm this, I'm blah, blah, blah. We come on. We don't think of ourselves as raging against all sound judgment. What is this verse helping us do? Let me give it to you in Amplified. He who willfully separates and estranges himself from God and man seeks his own desire and pretext to break out against all wise and sound judgment. God's word translation, a loner is out to get what he wants for himself. He opposes all sound reasoning. Man, stand with me. That makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? Do you see why the devil is trying to get us to isolate? How he's trying to get us to, you know, just kind of get hunkered down at home and never interact with people, never go out to eat with anybody, never have anybody over, never accept an invitation to somebody else's house, never. My brother, my sister, this is how we grow. Can't grow with you. Can't grow that way. Oh, I can, Pastor Mark. No, you are not the exception here. But notice that you, by responding that way, you're verifying what Proverbs 18 says. You're resisting all sound judgment. God is telling you that you got to have other people. It's not good for you just to have him and nobody else. He says it's not good. God says it's not good for you to be alone. And you go, well, you know, I'm just a quiet person. It's not my personality. I don't like big crowds. Right, okay. Well, guess what? You're raging against all sound judgment. Well, it's just my personality. My friend, listen to me, please. Okay. Perhaps your personality is the problem. It's keeping you from growing. Well, I'm just not comfortable around other people. If the life you're looking for was in your comfort zone, you would have found it by now. You see? Comfort. So people look at me and they think, man, listen, this is one of the biggest battles I had to fight. And I still have to work on this. I tend to, amen, be backwards and bashful and whatever, amen. Get over myself, amen. Get over wrong understanding, not myself, my true self. It's not, amen. And I think to some extent we are all that way. Because we've all been rejected. We've all had people stab us in the back. We've all had people that have looked us in the face and made us promises and then, you know, broke those promises. And we put ourselves out there and it got trampled on and was like, okay, you know, I see how this is going to be. I had a pastor one time. I was on his staff. My wife and I got him some really nice Christmas gifts. Brought him to his door. I am not kidding you. He opened the door just wide enough for us to stick the package through. I'm not kidding you. Now, I'm not justifying, but you know what? In those days, I thought, I don't get that. Pastor for 25 years and you'll get it. You'll get it. Tell you how you don't get hurt. Just don't let them in. And I don't just mean the door. But you can't minister that way. But let me tell you what else you can't do that way. You can't grow that way. You got to let them in. What if they hurt me? They probably will. But if you don't have expectation of return, if you just do it because you're showing the loving kindness of God. Now we can grow with that. Are you, Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your ways. Lord, thank you for helping us hear what you're saying to us. I understand, folks, Father, that there are people other side of the world watching this right now. I'm not speaking to everybody that watches online. But there are more than a few people who watch online who could be here and who need to be here, who need interaction with other people. And guess what? Those of you watching online that are in that category, and we need you. You need us and we need you. We need you here and you need to be here. Father, thank you for what we have with you as individuals. Thank you for what Pastor Matthew was talking about this morning. Long conversations with you. You teaching him and showing him. And Lord, that's beautiful. And we can all have that. That's not just for him or for a select group of people. We can all have that if we'll give you that place in our lives. But Father, it's not just this private, personal relationship with you. It's fellowship. It's fellowship. Thank you for helping us see it. But most importantly, Father, thank you for helping us apply it to our lives so that our growth, we can grow. We can grow, Father. Get to a point where people rejecting us doesn't affect us like it used to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, once again, we bless all of our moms. We wish them, Lord, just health and blessing and peace and joy as we honor them today, as their families honor them today in Jesus' name.